Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
And in my studies, you know what I came to realize? Do you know that 33% of the words that Jesus spoke were in the form of parables? And you know why? Because what he did was he painted pictures. He took spiritual truths and he painted these pictures through stories so that we could grasp spiritual realities. Isn't that awesome? So he had a reason for him doing that. The parable that one of the ones that really speaks to me, it did right from the very beginning, is the one in John as far as the vine and the branches. And the reason it did is like Jesus, when he was on the road to Gethsemane, when he was on the way to be crucified, as he was going there, he knew he wanted to let the people know, a time is coming that I will no longer be with you. So he wanted to assure them. So he used this opportunity, just walking through the vineyard, and he said, I'm going to use this to show them. Again, he wanted to show them the divine connection he would have with them, even when he was not with them physically. And so this was the words in John 15:5. He picture him, he picks up the vine and he shows them this. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. He was showing them. He wanted them to see, yes, even after my death, yes, what's going to happen? I will still be with you. I'll be with you in a different way, but a very real way. And he took something from nature to paint that picture for them. And maybe they didn't know what it was at the time, but why did John write about it? Because later he knew about this divine connection that would be. Now, Jesus, he taught in these parables, again, to take spiritual truths and have them become a spiritual reality to us. And, you know, think about it. You know, anytime you are going to put something together, right? If you're going to put a table together, whatever it might be, it comes with verbal instructions, but then you have a picture. Doesn't it always come with a picture? Why does it come with a picture? Because it brings clarity. And Jesus knew this. So with the parables, he was always painting a picture. That is why he taught so many things in parables. Another one is the parable of the mustard seed. Very parable. Matthew 13, 31 and 32. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his fields. Though it is the smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of all garden plants and becomes a tree so the birds can come and perch in it and its branches. Isn't that powerful? The idea being, he painted this picture of something that small as a mustard seed, the huge impact it would have. And then all scripture is laced one into the other. Have you noticed that from the Old Testament all the way through? Then he takes this idea of the mustard seed and he speaks one of the most powerful scriptures that has to do with our faith. It's Matthew 17, 20. It says, truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible with you. So picture it. He's saying that's how powerful faith is. He's saying something this small, similar to like a stick of dynamite. Say you say a stick of dynamite, a huge mountain. But if you use that stick of dynamite, the mountain will just be blown apart. And what he's saying, that your faith, any obstacle in your life right now, any obstacle that might be that way, your faith can be so powerful, it's going to move it right out of the way. Move it right out. I want you to close your eyes and see. Let God show you at an obstacle that might be in your way. I want you to see it right now. Close your eyes. Close your eyes and see. What is it? Maybe one, maybe two? Yeah. But the Word of God says our faith is powerful. It takes faith the size of a mustard seed. Nothing is too difficult for us. Nothing. We stand on the Word of God. Yeah. Jesus spoke in parables. Why? What he was doing is triggering our imagination. He was triggering our imagination. And what is the imagination? It is the ability to see with our mind what we cannot naturally see with our eyes. You know, again, what is your imagination? It's the ability to see up here in your mind what you cannot see in your natural eyes. Imagination, we use it every day without even realizing it. Now, say, I start to think, when do I use my imagination in everyday thing? Say that I was telling somebody how to come from my place to get to church. What would happen is I'm going to tell them a picture would form in my mind, my imagination. I would see myself coming down the hill. I would see myself, you know, right? Where we would get to the end, the picture's forming. I would make a right. Right? Then I would see myself a few blocks later, bing, I'd make a left. That's your imagination. It's pictures that form in your mind. And you use our imagination in many different ways. One of the ways I want to highlight that all of us are used to using our imagination in is worry. Right? What is worry? It's using your imagination. It's painting a whole story about what could happen, a chain of events that could happen. That is your imagination, using it in a negative way. But if you can use it in that way, you can use it in so many ways. So many ways. So the basic concept that I want to impart to us today is that the power of our imagination, it is powerful. It can be used for good. It can take the word of God and it can bring it to life. Or it can be a destructive force, depending on what you're imagining. So that's what today is. I want you to broaden our imaginations. I can only imagine. You know, as we study the Word of God, we can make a conscious effort to use our imagination. That's why Jesus spoke in these parables. He wants us to picture it. Yes. And that can be the catalyst for us experiencing these spiritual truths, to take them from the kingdom of God and move through us. Move through us. Because we walk in faith. We walk in faith. We understand it. Yeah. We're living out the word of God in our lives. Now, there's another parable that speaks to me. It's in the book of Matthew. It helps me when I feel a weight pressing down upon me. Like sometimes it could be weary. I could feel overwhelmed. It could be stress. Stress, all different kinds of weight that can come on. And I'm going to quote this scripture. It's a powerful, powerful scripture. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Jesus' words, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." You know, in ministry, as a pastor, there is a weight that comes with that, a responsibility of making decisions, of knowing how they will affect others' lives. There's a responsibility of knowing that your reaction and the way you respond to things will so much affect others. Knowing the importance of setting a godly example and not getting in the flesh. Knowing that. You know, I, with all that's going on, with all the pandemic and the election and the racial tensions, there is so much happening in the world right now. And it is a weight. It is a weight that could cause us to get more in the flesh. But the Lord, you know, he showed me you cannot. Even to get in there once or twice would have a ripple effect. And that's for all of us, you know. And the thing that made me remember, too, is I jokingly say, you know, my motto, anyone that knows me, is walk softly and carry a pink whip. I mean, if anyone that knows me, this is me. Walk softly, finger, the pink whip, right? They know me this way, right? They relate to it. They actually like this about me. But can you imagine if all of a sudden it became a cat and nine's tail? You know, or rather than soft, it was hard and harsh. Yeah. You know, and, you know, Pastor Adam, too, he really has that weight. And are we not blessed to have this man as our pastor? Amen. He is steady. You know, because anyone, you look for a steady, someone you can count on to stay steady through what's happening. And can we not count on our pastor? He stays steady through it all. Praise the Lord. Isn't he? He's wonderful. And I have walked with this man through many years, and I have seen him in many difficult situations. And I have seen him not get in the flesh. I have seen him stay patient and calm and speak with a steadiness. Joyce has seen it, right? My Joyce, Mama Joyce has seen it too. But again, that is there. We are going through intense times, but people are looking at us. They're saying, how are we going to respond during these difficult times? They are looking to us, right? And that weight with the pandemic can come on us in many different ways. It can be a weight of finances, the weight of possibly thinking you could lose your job, you know? It can be the weight of a mom that so wants to, their children, they're worried about, will their children be educated properly, and now they have all this more to do, you know? The weight, it can be depression of being isolated. We are people. We want to be with people. And people are isolated. There's a weight to that. Could be a loved one is sick. There are many different weights that we carry. Yeah. And the racial tension in our country right now, it is at an all-time high. Yeah. But we as God's children, we are called to a higher standard. We are. And the beauty of it is the word says we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We have been set apart. And the standard he has called us to, we can walk in because he set us apart. We are called to walk in patience. We are called to walk in kindness. We are called to walk in forgiveness. We are called to prefer one another. What is it to prefer another? It's seeing something from their perspective. It's making sure, it's breaking down those defensive walls that may try to rise up in you and say, no, no, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are in the world. We're not of the world. Isn't that beautiful? And you know what we can do? We can imagine what it's like walking in another's shoes. What is it like to walk in another's shoes? As a white chick, that's what I do. I imagine what it would be like if my skin was a few shades darker. What would it be like to go up to a water fountain and see a sign that said, you can't drink out of this because of the color of your skin? I imagine myself in those situations. And it wasn't that long ago. There are people we know that experience this. You know, I saw something on Facebook. I thought it was really poignant. It said, people get upset when they say masks only. What would it be like to see whites only? What would it be like to walk in another's shoes? What would it be like to tell your child when they're innocent and looking up at you and you're teaching them to have confidence and you tell them there are people that'll look down on you because of the color of your skin? I imagine it, and so that I can at least get a glimpse to have empathy for what another walked in and to gain understanding. But it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. What would it be like in this day and age if the color of your skin was white? And all that's being said and all that's going on, what would it be like? We have to walk in each other's shoes to prefer one another. To prefer one another is to be more concerned what the other is experiencing than what we're experiencing. And it's not just the black and white thing. It's all of us. To walk in each other's shoes. What are they experiencing? To prefer each other. And there's only one way we can do that. If we walk with Jesus. As we stay in step with Jesus. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The picture he is painting is the two of you walking. It's two oxen that were walking side by side. That's what was happening in that day. And he's saying, you can walk with me. Any burden, I'll carry it. I'm yoked with you. The yoke was on their shoulders. He's saying, you don't have to carry any one of those burdens. I will carry it for you. We're yoked with him. This parable so speaks to me because I imagine it. Why did he speak in a parable? So we could imagine it. And as I imagine it, what I see him taking that weight right off of me. I experience it getting lifted. It's lifted off of me. And then I see myself staying in step. And that's what he wants for all of us. And he says, learn from me. I am gentle. I am humble. How can we be gentle? How can we walk in kindness? How? By walking with Jesus. By staying in step with Jesus. Yes. Yes. Picture yourself walking with him. He is right next to you, carrying that weight, teaching you, whispering in your ear, just the way my precious husband whispered in my ear, I am here. I am here, learning from him. He set us apart. He set us apart. He called us our own. And we can walk in the fullness of that call. Yes. So good. Humility. He says, I am humble. Humility comes because we can only depend on him. We can depend on none other than him to walk in that, but we can. Jesus taught in parables so we could teach it. Yes, imagination is powerful. It is the first step to experiencing it. Faith and imagination go hand in hand. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a confidence of things hoped for and the assurance of things not seen. Faith is powerful, but faith is anchored in hope. Hope is confidently expecting something to happen. Hope, what is hope? It's seeing it in your imagination. Your imagination is the ability to see what you cannot see with your eyes. And that's hope, the assurance of things you do not see. Yes, and it feeds your faith. Faith is the power. That is where the power is released, like a stick of dynamite. Developing a godly imagination is a powerful tool to walk in all of the things, to live the word of God in our lives powerfully. We are set apart. We're not of the world, and we don't have to be of the world. Pastor Paul, he warned us. He said, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is. The good, pleasing, perfect will of God. It's the word of God. That is what transforms our mind. So let the word of God paint a picture for you. If God said it, I believe it. If that's it. It's simple. Say that with me. If God said it, I believe it. You know what we need to be? Narrow-minded in our faith. A narrow-minded faith. A faith that it doesn't see anything contrary to it. It will not allow in anything contrary to it. It is narrow-minded faith. Yeah. So we have to be careful where our minds go, but it can be narrow. It can be on the word of God. It says we have the mind of Christ, but with that is because the word of God is there, coming to life in us. It warns about other ways our imagination can be used, like worry, a negative way. But another one it talks about in 2 Corinthians, we have to be careful of our imagination. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to have tunnel vision, narrow-minded, a faith that will not be moved. My Ellen, this woman is a woman of faith, a faith that will not be moved. A faith, I've seen it in her many times, and we can all, it's there for all of us. Mama Joyce, I see it, a faith that will not be moved. I see it in many of us, but it's there for all of us. We say no. The part is recognizing our thoughts. It's recognizing those thoughts when they come in. We have to cast down any imagination that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We have to cast down anything that will affect our faith. A thought, a little tiny thought that comes in here that will affect our faith. Or something that will cause us to sin. So what do we have to do? It tells us what we do have to do in the scripture. Take every thought captive. Right? Now, what does that look like? Me, again, I use my imagination. I take my imagination, and it helps me to do it. I see it. So with me taking that thought captive, what I do is I hit the delete button. You know, on the computer, and you got the delete button? You know when you hit it, brrr, gone, right? So that's what I see it is. I have to hit the delete button, and you know what I see? I see God's hand coming in, taking that thought captive, and kicking it out. That's what I see. I hit the delete button. He comes in. He kicks it out. So if something comes in to make me question my faith, what do I have to do? I have to hit the delete button, kick it out, and then I have to replace it with all things are possible with God. Yes. Just kick it out. See God's hand coming in. That's what it says. Take them captive. Who does it? Let God will do it. Get it in. Kick it out. You put something new in. If God said it, I believe it. If God said it, I believe it. Let hope arise. Let hope arise. Yes, as we stand on the word of God. Now, other different things come that we have to take captive. One of the things I have to take captive that can come into me is if someone say they offend me or they hurt my feelings in some way. Now, this doesn't happen very often, but we're human, so this can happen, you know? So when this happens, do you know what I do? I don't know why my brain works like this. I will keep reliving it again and again in my mind, what they did. And by the grace of God, I never speak it out. I mean, bottom line, I teach us never to gossip. So I have to very well, I've got to model what I preach, you know, and that helps me. It helps me not to ever do that. But my brain is another story. And that'll happen. I'll relive this thing. And as I'm reliving it, you know, I have to take those thoughts captive and get them out, because what's happening is I'm starting to judge I'm judging that other person. That's what will happen if you relive it. It's like pounding it in again and again and again. And so God brought me to another scripture. You know what it was? He goes, get that plank out of your eye. Then you can take the splinter from your brother's. Then you can take it. A plank was forming in my eye. As if I did not take those thoughts captive and kick it out, that was forming. I'm telling you, my false eyelash, you would never survive a plank in my eye. I mean, you know, they would never, but what I do, I have to replace it with something. And you know what I replace it with? It's always the same, always the same. I pray and I say, God, give me compassion. Help me to see them through your eyes, my Lord. Take that plank out of my eyes. Give me a clear vision. Give me your heart of compassion, God. And that's what he does. And then he puts the spotlight into me and starts telling me all my stuff. He says to me, don't be worried about them. You know, I love you just the way you are, my baby. I love you, my child. You give that to others. Accept us. Yeah. And I'll tell you, he does it. It's wonderful to have it happen when you're all kinds of ick. You know, it's horrible to judge. It's horrible to be an unforgiven. It's a horrible feeling. I refuse to have any part of it in my life. None. And when it's gone, lifted, man, it's great. It's beautiful. And Jesus will do that for all of us. Yeah. So it's how we use our imagination. Worry, that's not a good way to do it. There was another way, too, Jesus spoke of. Yep. Lust. He says, lust. He spoke about this, about your imagination. He says, Jesus' word, anyone who looks at another woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus spoke strongly about an ungodly imagination. Why? Because he knew the power of the imagination. He knew it. He knew if you've imagined it, the next step could be doing it. He knew that. So that's why he spoke so strongly about it. But if you can imagine those things, you know, we can imagine the things that Jesus said we can do. Jesus said, you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. He said this. Imagine it. See yourself, someone coming to you. See yourself laying hands on them. See yourself standing on the word of God, that the presence of Christ that's in you can come through them and heal them. See yourself doing those things. If we can use our imagination to worry, we can use our imagination to see ourselves stepping out in what God's called us to do. We can. I can only imagine. But in the world we live in, it teaches us to do things so different. I will never forget years ago in Cosmo, please. I read there was 10 things that you could do to spice up your sex life. With sex life, you get to number 10, you know what they say? Imagine your husband is another man. You've got to be kidding. This is what, now I wasn't saved at the time. Even I knew this was not a good thing, you know? But this is the world. This is the example of what Paul wrote about. This is what he said. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's perfect will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. In Cosmo, that is an example of that. It's an example of the pattern of this world. But is that not us? We're born again. We are transformed into his glory from one time to the next, from glory to glory. It's a new movie. I know. We are new creations. It's Christ. It's a new movie. It's PG. It's a Christian film. And the author is God. And you and I are written in the story. Jesus is the director. As we stay in step with him, because we're yoked with him. And the character, you know what your character is? You're a child of the Most High God. You're made in the image of God. You are a partaker of his divine nature. You're called and anointed by God. And God created us with a purpose. He's given us all gifts, a passion in us to see things done. Walk in the fullness of those gifts. Dare to dream. Let your imagination see yourself doing that. Get out of the boat. Don't be holding on. Say, no, I'm going to get out into those uncharted waters. I'm going to step out. That's where the anointing is. You never know until you step out into it. And once you step out into it, yes, it's there. John, I want to take us to John 14:12. Very, very, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, the works I have been doing, they too will do. Even greater things they do, because I am going to the Father. At the moment you and I are born again, we are anointed, we are empowered by God, because we are connected to him. Again, bring us back to the beginning. I am the vine, you are the branches. That divine connection, the power of God that is in us, that supernatural power that is there for us to step in completely. Yes, he is in us. And we step out into this by faith. The same thing that Jesus said when Jesus was in the synagogue, when he stepped up with authority and told people who he was, we walk in the same anointing. We walk in the exact same authority as those things. Because the Spirit of the living God is in us. We can step out in it. So I want you to see yourself stepping out in all of these things. I've seen many people do it. Many people. I've seen Raquel. I've seen many, you know, as far as preaching the gospel, I've seen many of you stepping out right where you are, right where you are. This is what Jesus said, and this is for us. You can say this, speak this over your life, speak it out in your living room, say it. the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all who are oppressed. Yes, that is who we are because of Christ in us. So see yourself preaching the gospel. See yourself laying hands on the sick. See yourself setting the captives free. If God said it, I believe it. He said greater things than these you will do. You will do. Step out in it. Proverbs says, people perish for a lack of vision. Dare to dream. Dare to dream. Imagine yourself stepping out and all the gifts, the passions that he's given you, stepping out, write it down. We are anointed. That power and presence of God that is in us will come in us and through us, in our giftings. In our giftings. We're in the world. We're not of the world. We have the supernatural presence of God in us to fulfill and do all that he's called us to do. But you have to step out in it for it to be released. Step out in it for it to be released. We had an awesome time at one of our prayer meetings. Actually, my Connect group. Some of us were here that day. I had Ellen teach on the anointing, how you can release anointing into someone by laying on of hands. The presence of God that's in us can come out of us and go into another, and how you can be open to receive it. And so we started going around the room praying, and we prayed for, I think Barbara was the first, and then we went on to someone else. And as Ellen and I were praying, Barbara just put her hand on me for the first time in trying to release the anointing. I'm telling you, it came out. It was so strong. It literally knocked me off my feet. Right? So I'm in my living room, right? But, I mean, that's the presence and power of God. It's in us, yes. Now, that was Barbara in an innocence, almost like the innocence of a child. First, oh, I can release this. She lays her hands on me and whoosh, I mean, it's just there. It was beautiful. That was not Barbara. It was Christ in her. It was the presence of God in her. And we can all walk in it, releasing it. Yeah, one to another. The power within us to share the gospel, that we can walk in that authority. We are called, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to speak and preach the good news. We are Christ's ambassadors. In Corinthians it says, as if God is making his appeal through us. I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See yourself. Imagine it. Imagine it in your mind. Imagine yourself with your family members. Imagine yourself sharing your faith with them. Imagine yourself with your coworkers. Imagine yourself out in the streets. I knew this little lady, Betty Jane. She since went to go home with the Lord. She was amazing. She loved garage sales. She would be at the garage sales sharing her faith wherever she went. Why? Because we are his ambassadors. And if you practice it, pretty soon it gets easier and easier to actually to step out in it. So when that opportunity comes, you are ready. We are his ambassadors. Jesus is not here. He's up with the Father. He's seated at the right hand. But he says, you, I can make my appeal through you. He can. All we have to do is open our mouths and be led. All we have to do is walk with him and let him guide us. So see yourself taking someone's hand and leading them to Christ. See yourself laying hands on the sick and their healed. See yourself healing the brokenhearted. See yourself yoked with our Jesus, filled with compassion and kindness and empathy. So in closing, I'm going to bring us back to faith, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for and the assurance of things not seen. The assurance of things not seen. That is our imagination. Yes, the imagination is the ability to see what you cannot see with your eyes. That is what hope is. So let hope arise, and it will feed our faith. And what does our faith do? It will propel us into our destiny. Yes, it's faith that will propel us into our destiny. We need to be narrow-minded in our faith. Anything that's different, we take it captive and we kick it out. Now, if God said it, I believe it. Let's remember Jesus' words. He said, whoever believes in me. So who here believes in Jesus? Do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe in Jesus? Well, this is his word for you. The works I have been doing, even greater works you will do, because I am going to the Father. Jesus said, walk with me. Dream, dare to dream, step out into all that I have for you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Let my anointing flow through you. You are yoked with me. Walk in that gentleness and that kindness. All of these things are for us as his children. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Isn't God good? It was so beautiful to have us all together. It's always my joy to be here with you. And so now we're going to take communion.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.